Built for the storm. Well, this morning now we come to our fourth of our series, and that is Built for the Storm. We're going to be talking about promises of God this morning and how in the midst of every storm of life, God comes alongside and he has a word for us in the middle of the storm. Friends, I believe that we are living in unprecedented times in world history. Every day, as you look about, you will see there are prophetic scriptures that are being fulfilled right before our very eyes. Events that I believe most of us probably read in the scriptures, and we thought it would be impossible for such an event to ever come to pass, are now being fulfilled right before our very eyes, and now on the front page of the newspaper globally. And friends, there's more. There's much, much more to come. I believe there is a series of prophetic storms that are gathering on the horizon. Storms, as I have mentioned, storms that are going to be economic, affecting everyone's pocketbook. You know, sometimes that's the only way God can get attention of America, and that is to touch us where we love it the most, and that is in our money. And I believe we're about to see some economic things happen in this world. They're going to have a domino effect on everyone's, and I mean everyone's income, everyone's pocketbook. I believe that some of the storms that are brewing on the horizon are geophysical, meaning that there's going to be cataclysmic events that'll take place in nature. I believe that some are going to be geopolitical. There's going to be the realignment of nations and their allegiances one to another. And we see this shifting going on all the time. And I believe this is also going to be a religious storm, a growing intolerance towards the Bible, towards the laws of God, and towards Christianity in general. God has given to me an assignment over these past few months, and it is simply to let you know that there's coming events, there's a storm on the horizon that is coming, but not only to warn you of these coming events, but to prepare you so that you may face any storm at any time with absolute confidence in God. Now, thus far, we've established the fact in our series that if we're going to be successful in weathering the storms of life, we must build our homes, our families, and our lives on the rock, Christ Jesus, which is unmovable. The Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken in the last days. And I'm so glad that we can be on the rock, Christ Jesus, which will be unshakable. Secondly, we discovered how important faith and attitude are in the midst of a storm. Job, as we have discovered, was hit by a train of storms, not just one storm, but a train of storms wiping out his wealth, his family of 10 children, and even his personal wealth. Now, through all of this, you'll discover as you read through the book of Job that he maintained an incredible attitude, an attitude of gratitude towards God. And in the midst of the storm, rather than getting angry with God, he worshiped God, and the Bible says he retained his integrity. That is his faith, his hope, and his position with God. And he said in the midst of it all, he said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He chose in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his sorrow, in the midst of his loss, he chose volitionally to worship God. Now, these are things that we need to learn and apply to our lives. So if we are not grounded on the rock, when the storm comes, we'll be swept away like the house that is built on the sand. If we have an attitude of anger towards God, rather than an attitude of gratitude, even in the midst of situations like Job faced and we will never be able to figure out on this side of eternity, if we do not have that kind of a faith and that kind of a solid foundation, we will be washed away. Now, last week we discovered that the storms can hit our lives even when Jesus is with us in the boat. Matter of fact, it is very likely that some of the storms come our way because of the fact that Jesus is with us in the boat. The fact that we have aligned ourselves with Christ and Christ lives within us has made us a target for the enemy, as we saw as Jesus and the 12 disciples were going over the Sea of Galilee and the storm hit. It is evident that the enemy was trying to take Jesus out before Calvary, take the disciples out before the church was established, and try to take Jesus out so he could not reach the other side of the Sea of Galilee and help a demon-possessed man that the devil had held in chains and in bonds for a long, long time. So having Jesus then in the boat with us at times is not a protection from the storm, but rather it's a fine assurance, it's a wonderful assurance that things are going to be okay even in the midst of the storm. You know, Jesus, when he says, let's go over to the other side, you can count on it, it's a done deal. And when we came to the cross of Christ and we gave our lives to him, there is a commitment that he gave to us at that moment that one day where he is, we shall be also. But before we get there, friends, Jesus also said, it is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said, we're going to reach the other side, you can rest assured we will reach the other side. It is a done deal, but it does not mean that there will not be some storms along the way. Now, in the midst of every single storm, God is with us. And not only is God with us, he is not silent in the midst of the storm if we have a listening ear. In the midst of Job's raging storm, we read these words in Job chapter 38 and verse 1. It says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I find a wonderful assurance there that God is with us in the storm, and he is not silent, and he is going to teach us, he's going to lead us, he is going to help us so we will be successful as a believer in following after him and having a testimony that will be sterling in the midst of the storm. So in the midst of the storm, the Bible says, the Lord spoke to Job. Now, Job's experience here of God speaking to him in the middle of a storm is not unique. Actually, the Bible is full of accounts of God speaking to individuals in the midst of their storm. And this morning, we're going to take a look at just a few of them. Now, when Moses and the children of Israel were trapped, as you remember the story, they were trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies. It seemed at that moment like certain death to the children of Israel, and they began to become very antsy. They became very angry with Moses, and they said, it would have been better off for us to die back in Egypt than to follow you, Moses, out here. You have brought us to a place of death, and now Pharaoh's armies are behind us. The Red Sea's in front of us. They are in what would be called checkmate. There's nowhere they can go. But God had a plan. Even in the midst when it seemed as though all was forsaken, God had a plan. And in Exodus chapter 14, starting with verse 13, we read these words, in the midst of the storm, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Friends, you need to understand, they had been in bondage to Egypt for 400 long years. They had felt the cruel stripes on their backs from their taskmasters. Life had been hard. They had cried out to God. God sent them a deliverer. His name was Moses. And now here they are. They're following Moses. And it seems as though everything has turned sour and life is over for them. And Moses receives this word from God. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Those that are harassing, those pictures of faces of these hard and cruel taskmasters, and now to see Pharaoh's army on your path, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still. Now, if you look at that and kind of diagram that out, God's plan for victory, first of all, do not be afraid. I want you to remember this because you're going to see this time and time again. Whenever God speaks in the midst of the storm, the first thing that God declares and commands, do not be afraid. The second thing that God said, stand firm. Do not be afraid. Do not have wavering faith. Stand firm. Do not be afraid. The Lord will bring deliverance today. Notice, it's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be because Moses figured out a plan. But the Lord will bring deliverance, and this deliverance is going to come today. Say today with me, today. Friends, I believe God has deliverance in store for some of you, and it's going to happen today. It has been a long, hard, and arduous journey, and it feels as though you are surrounded by the enemy. The Red Sea's in front of you. You have nowhere to go, and you're wondering if following after Jesus was such a good idea or not. I'm here to tell you today, do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will bring deliverance when? Today. And the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Take a last look at your enemy, he said, because you will never see this enemy once again. And then he said, the Lord will fight for you. You will not have to go out into some kind of hand-to-hand combat. It's not going to be by your might or by your power. God is going to fight on your behalf. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. And I believe when he says be still, he's not only speaking about standing still, you know, not running in fear, but I believe he is talking about you need to be still in heart, still in spirit. Just trust God. So God's plan for victory, and we're going to see this played out in many different accounts this morning. Stand still. He's going to tell them, do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will bring deliverance when? Say it. Today, the Egyptians you do see today, you will never ever see them again. They will never harass you again. The Lord himself will fight for you, and you only need to be still. That means do not run in fear. Do not run from the enemy. Just trust God. Then listen to this promise that you'll find given to Judah's King Jehoshaphat. When facing the vast armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15 through 17. So here they are. They've got a massive enemy. Matter of fact, it's a twofold enemy, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And Judah's king Jehoshaphat receives this word from the Lord in the midst of the storm. Here it is in verse 15. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. Are you already picking up on a theme here? Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down towards them. They will be climbing up the pass of Zis, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. And the Lord will be where? With you. Now notice as we go through these various accounts, God is going to be saying much the same to each and every one of them. And he is affirming and reaffirming, do not be afraid. Stand still. This battle is not yours. This battle's mine. The Lord will fight for you. All you need to do is stand still and watch and see what God will do. Now, this account is a rather fascinating account because if you read on, and we don't have time to read on this morning, but I would encourage you to read on in 2 Chronicles 20, you'll discover that the Lord gave them the plan of sending the choir out in front of the army. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind. Here's an army that is prepared. They're ready for battle. And God said, no, don't send the military out first. You send out the choir in front of them. And so the choir got in front of the army and began to sing and began to exalt the name of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And the Bible says in verse 22 that the Lord sent an ambush, and God won the battle once again without Judah having to lift a sword. Now, the plan was rather unconventional. I read a little bulletin blooper one day, and it said, tonight's message at 7 o'clock, what is hell like? Come early and hear our choir. And so this choir must have been a real killer, all right? They're out in front. Friends, when God gives you a plan, no matter how crazy the plan may seem, when God is in it, it is an incredible plan for victory. And so in the midst of the storm, he speaks then to King Jehoshaphat, which was fearful, and the people of Israel and Jerusalem were fearful. They were surrounded by a vast army of mighty warriors of the Moabites and the Ammonites. And God said to them once again, do not be afraid. Well, let's press on. It's an interesting story, a fascinating story. And I love reading the one that is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. It is a story of King Aram's war against Israel. And the prophet Elisha had been advising Israel's war efforts so successfully that the king knew the only way then to take on Israel and to be effective against Israel would be to get rid of their spiritual advisor, the one that had been telling them in advance what plans the enemy was making so that Israel could prepare in advance for whatever offenses or whether it was offensive or defensive. They were always prepared. And King Aram, he became so angry about all of this that he wanted to kill Elisha. And while Elisha and his servant then were sleeping, the enemy surrounded the city of Dothan. And during the dark of the night, they surround this city then, intending to kill Elisha in the morning, this prophet of God. Now listen what it says, starting here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, here's what he saw. During the night, listen what happened. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. And again, the first three words is what? Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And I'm sure this young servant of Elisha the prophet must have looked around and said, Elisha, you must be imagining things. There is not more of us than there are of them. And Elisha prayed. This is very insightful. What they could see with the natural eye was only the warfare that was on the ground circling the city of Dothan. All of the enemies they could see with the natural eye. And not only is this servant afraid for Elisha, he is afraid for his own life. And so Elisha says to him, do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Not see in the natural, but that he might be able to see for a moment in the supernatural. Because with natural eyes, he was seeing the armies that were against him. But with the supernatural eyes, here's what's going to happen. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Friends, I want you to know, once again, you hear the word, do not be afraid. And there is the indication at this moment that in the midst of the storm, this young servant of Elisha, he was about ready to give up, throw in the towel, maybe even run. And the word came to him, do not be afraid. There are more that are with us than those that are against us. And he said, God, open his eyes so that he can see. Friends, if we could take in the midst of any one of our storms, and if we could see in the supernatural, we would see not only the storm, but we would see all of heaven's help that God has surrounded us with. Friends, I want you to know, you are not alone in this world. And I know that, you know, Hollywood has tried to make a lot of movies about the supernatural. Let me tell you, there is a supernatural world that is unseen by the natural eye, but is seen by the spiritual eye. And if we only see the natural, we are going to live lives of fear and on the run, especially in the times of storm. But if we can take and see what God has made available for our benefit and for our help that surrounds us, it is a phenomenal thing. And so he said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant so that he can see. And as he looked about, the mountains were filled with horses. They were filled with, here's what it says, and the Lord opened the servant's eyes, looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Friend, I want you to know this morning, in the midst of your storm, God has not abandoned you. God is saying to you this morning, just be still. Do not fret it. Do not worry. Do not be afraid, because more is surrounding you from heaven than is surrounding you from hell. And I have promised you I will see you through. Remember, I promise you at the altar, I'll see you on the other side. And so once again, you see an incredible promise, and you see those same terms once again, do not be afraid. Moving on to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, starting with verse 10. Again, you're reading here, and we're coming into the middle of a storm. And here's what it says, so do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Anytime you read in Scripture about right hand is always speaking about the strength, the might. And so God is saying, he said, I am the Lord your God. Do not be fearful, so do not fear. I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. Isn't it good to know that we can declare, you are my God, and God declares, I belong to you and you belong to me. I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous, right, strong hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Friends, isn't it exciting to see how many times in the Bible that God says, do not fear, for I am with you. Going on to Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah 43, what a wonderful promise here. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, which is one of my favorite verses. Hence, you have heard this verse many, many times because it is one of my favorites. Here's what it says, Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. See the theme one more time. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have bought you. I have purchased you. You are mine. Look at verse 2. He says, when you pass through the waters, when the storms of life come, when you face the seemingly impossible moments of life, he said, do not fear. I've redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. I know your name. You are mine. And any protection that's going to come is going to come because we are his and we are redeemed by him. It says in verse 2 then, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, he's talking about storms here. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned and the flames will not set you ablaze. What a promise. He said, you can be surrounded by water up to your neck and over your head. He said, don't fear, because you will not drown. I am with you. He says, when you go through the fires, he said, the fire will not burn you. I am the Lord your God. What I find interesting here is a story that comes from the Tenerife plane crash. This was back in the 70s, if I remember the time period right. There was 583 persons that died on a Pan Am KLM flight that collided together in the Canary Islands. It, to this very day, is the worst air disaster in the history of aviation. And there was a man on board by the name of Norman Williams. Norman Williams, I first came to know that name because of Ethel Wanamaker, and some of you know the Wanamakers, know the Wanamaker name. Ethel Wanamaker attended college with Norman Williams. Norman was on that 747, one of the two 747s that collided there on the ground at Tenerife Island in the Canary Islands. And here's what his testimony was. And I would encourage you, you can go back, the pictures of this horrific plane accident are so vivid and can be seen on, you know, most any site on the internet. I would just encourage you to take a look at it so you have an appreciation for what had happened. These two planes hauling hundreds of thousands of pounds of fuel, both of them getting ready to take off, burst into flame, and there's just nothing left at all. And he said this. He said, I was strapped in my seat. He said, I was engulfed in flames. And he said, I remember the verse that even in the midst of the fire, I would not be burned. He said, it was so hard to try to get the seatbelt off. And he said that around him, he saw people, literally their skin melting off their bodies, 583 of them between the two aircraft. And he said, I called out to God and heard God say, my promise is good. Will you believe me? And anyone that's ever been on a 747 aircraft, you realize they are a sizable aircraft. And he said it was about, he figured, and I'm not sure whether this be accurate or not, but approximately 9 feet to the ceiling. He said that the fire was on every side, and he saw a hole that had broken through in the ceiling of the aircraft. And he said, somehow, with God's help, he got up through that hole and slid down the side and was one of just a few whose life was spared through it all. And he has crisscrossed America telling others of how this verse, Isaiah chapter 43, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not oversweep you or sweep you over you. And when you go through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Friend, I want you to know, in the midst of the storm, God is there. In the midst of the storm, it's when we need to know the promises of God. I would dare say the reason why Norman Williams lived and 583 others died was because Norman Williams chose in that moment to apply God's word to a very horrific storm that was raging around him. Throughout this series, what God is trying to tell us is, I have made promises to you, promises that are going to be the difference between life and death. Differences between whether or not you're sane or whether you lose your mind. Promises that are going to make the difference whether or not you lose everything in life and have nothing, or whether you lose everything and gain more. It's going to make all of the difference when the storm hits. There's an old song, and some of you probably remember singing it, you can't stand on promises if you don't know what the promises are. And so we need to know the promises of God. And that is why this morning I'm reading accounts. And these accounts, when you begin to compare them, if you were to take and diagram them, set them side by side, you'll find they were different storms, different individuals, different time periods of history. But the one thing they all have in common is the words of the Lord: do not be afraid, stand still. I am the Lord your God, and I'll be with you, and I will not forsake you, and I will see you through to the other side. And friend, I want you to know you need to hold fast to the promises of Almighty God. And so, in Isaiah 43, he says the very same thing. Do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. And he goes on to say what he'll do in the midst of the storm. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, in verse 6, there's a storm of another kind. And in Deuteronomy 31, in verse 6, and you'll want to go back and look up the totality of these storms and what was going on. But here is the word that came in that moment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be what? Do not be afraid, or even a step beyond being afraid. That is called terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes where? With you. And he will never what? He will never leave you. And he will never what? Forsake you. These words come to Joshua. Joshua is fearful. The storm is raging. Leadership is being questioned, and he questions even himself. And it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Now into the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, you'll find these words here in Hebrews 13, 5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, and he is going to quote that which is promised in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. For God has said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. So notice here, once again, you find time and time again, when facing the storm, God has said, do not be afraid. Secondly, remember in the midst of the storm that God is with you. God is not only in the heavens, but God is with you in the midst of your storm. God is with you out on the seas. God is with you flying through the air. God is with you in your plant tomorrow. God is with you as you go to the doctor. God is with you when he says, I have no answers. God is with you when your boss says, the plant is closing. God is with you in every circumstance of life. God is there. And he says time and time again, and friends, we're just scratching just the surface of all the accounts we can look at. And he starts out by saying, do not be afraid. Remember, God is with you. And then remember, he has promised that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. You know, many times in life when things get tough, friends may drop aside. But I want you to know the Lord God will not. He has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So in the midst of the storm, you need to understand he is there. Remember, in all situations, God is always in control. There is never a moment in the life of a believer where the devil has the upper hand. And that is one of the great blessings of belonging to the Lord our God. Remember, God is in control. And remember, he is working all things together for your good. It may seem like it is a mess. It may seem as though there's no way anything good can ever come of it. But I want you to know and to grab a hold of that promise that in the midst of it, even when it seems like there is no sense or rhyme or reason to what's going on, and in that moment when all you can see with the natural eye is the storm that's raging, remember, in the midst of the storm, God is there, And at a moment, God will open our spiritual eyes just for a long enough second to realize we are not alone, that the armies of heaven are all about us, and they are sent by God, the Bible says, ministering to the heirs of salvation. And I want you to know, angels of the Lord are camped about, the Bible says. Those that love God and keep His commandments, there is an unseen world that surrounds you. And in the midst of the bad news, in the midst of the storm, not only is God alongside of you, which is the most important of all, God has promised, I will have my mighty host all about you, surrounding you, and I will hem you in, and I will protect you, and I will fight the battle for you. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, he says this. He knew something about storms, not only physical storms, but spiritual storms as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Friends, remember, when trouble comes your way, you don't have to be stressed out. God is in control. Amen. In those moments when you don't know which way to go, you don't have to be in despair. When you're being persecuted, remember, you're not forsaken by God. And when life knocks you down, Paul says, get back up, because you have not been destroyed. And he says, jump back up, get back into the race. I love his concluding words there in the book of Philippians. And he says this, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Worship team, I want you to come. Here's what I want to do for just a moment this morning. You know, if the Lord has given to you a promise in the midst of a storm, and you have lived there and you've said, you know, this verse is the verse that was life and death for me. And it was God's lifeline that He gave me in the midst of my storm. And if you would just quickly, I just want to know, here's what the storm was, and just the shortest 2-3 words we can do, and then what the verse is. And if God has brought you through a storm, you know, there's encouragement that comes. You know, the Bible says He encourages us in the midst of our storm so that I can help you when you're in your storm. That's the word of the Lord. And this morning, if there's a promise, a verse that has seen you through, I want you to just come quickly. I want you to share it with us. Will you do that this morning? Come quickly. Because I believe that what God is going to give you right now is going to encourage someone else.
On March 19, 1985, my husband, a police officer, was shot and killed. I was at County Hospital. My girlfriend, Faye, came with a Bible and gave me this verse and said it would be with you forever. It was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, Catherine. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope.
In the year 2000, my wife was pregnant with my son, Noah. At that time, my job just went on strike, and I'm the primary breadwinner in the home, and so I was receiving $100 a week. And the thing God kept telling me is, make sure that you tithe. And his word says that I will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And He showed Himself ever so faithful.
Back in 2000, I gave my heart to the Lord. I was at a very, very dark place, and the verse that He gave me that got me through every storm and still does today is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and he will every day. Thank you.
Throat cancer and had 8 weeks of chemotherapy and 7 weeks of radiation treatments. God gave me Isaiah 41:10, and his right hand did strengthen me through that process, and today I'm cancer free.
On October 4th, 2002, I was due for a heart surgery. I had 5 bypasses and a valve repair. And God led me to Proverbs 24:10. In the face of adversity, if you faint in a day of adversity, your faith is weak. And that has helped me through all these years since 2002. Every time I come into have a problem, God is with me and he reminds me of that verse. Thank you.
Amen. In 1984, my senior year of high school, I lost my mother, lost my dad at the age of 8 years old. So mind you, at 18 years old, now I am considered legally grown, but yet still a child. I'm in high school, and I was an orphan. And the scripture that the Lord gave me was in the book of Psalms, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, then the Lord will take thee up. And he took me in his arms from that day on, and I've never looked back. I thank and praise God today for all that he's done. And that's what keeps me.
A couple years ago, I had a brain bleed. And about 4 days before that, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, I know what you're facing. And I want to see what your response is to what you're facing. I want you to trust me, for I have a plan for you. It's a plan for good, to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. He did.
Amen.
He always did.
Praise God.
I don't remember when the scripture came to me. I was reading in Isaiah, and the Lord had said, no, look on the other page. And I looked at it, and things were just falling apart around me. And it was Isaiah 43:18-19. He said, do not look back. Do not ponder the things of the past, for I am doing a new thing. It'll spring forth. Won't you be aware of it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the pathway. And I think of the scripture often.
An Isaiah verse also. Someone who I love very dearly was not saved, and the Lord gave me Isaiah 55:11, that the Lord's word will not return void or empty, but shall accomplish what he sets it forth to do.
Once again, Isaiah. Praise God for the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 38, verse 5, I've seen your tears, I've heard your prayers, I will heal you. The Lord has healed me from cancer twice.
Praise God. God is so amazing. He gave me James chapter 3 when my heart was breaking to pieces because of all of the conflicts that I had in my life due to a very sinful past. At the age of 14, I was a runaway, and I took the streets for many years and became homeless and did many, many horrible things. And I couldn't forgive myself. Everybody would tell me, Jesus forgave you, but I didn't understand it until I started living the love of God to the point that he had to himself reveal himself to me in a vision, in a dream of night. And he told me that there was no one who could accuse me. And when he told me that there was no one who could accuse me by pointing out at me, and I could see my life just from when I was youngest to oldest, I understood his great love. And then he told me one thing, Yvette, have faith. You need faith. And faith is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who took my sin on the cross and that everything was consumed in him. Hallelujah. So the point is that James chapter 3 said, for me to keep my same mind, because I was losing it because of so much hurt and pain. And when I read James, I said, Lord, I can't wait to see James, to give him a hug and give him a kiss and tell him thank you, because through your words, knowing your brother Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, I could keep a sane mind. And today I preach the gospel for the glory of God. Thank you.
We wanted a family so bad. In 2011, we went through a really hard time, and God gave us the verse, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so I hope this verse speaks to somebody else, that he just spoke, you know, trust in me, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
On March 30th, 2014, my 17-year-old son was killed. Before the incident happened, God gave me a dream about 3 weeks before. And he began to speak to me, and he told me to prepare myself that something was coming. But he told me, don't worry, that he was going to be with me. So when the day that my son died, God gave me tremendous strength. I don't know where it came from, God. I can't even understand. But I was in such pain at the loss of my son, I couldn't even pray. And I heard people say that before, but I really didn't understand it until it happened to me. When I would go to Psalms 27 and verse 27 and 14, where it says to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I would read that verse every day. And praise be to God, even though that tragedy happened in my life, God has strengthened me now. So if anybody is going through anything, just take heart, and God will strengthen you.
When I have not felt strong in the Lord, Zephaniah comes to mind. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with singing. He will rest in his love over you.
I'm sorry, I know I speak English too much, pero Dios sabe que cuando estuve indecisa de venirme de Texas para acá.
When I was indecisive of coming here.
En el 2011.
In 2011.
El Señor me recordó en una tienda antes de venirme para acá.
The Lord reminded me in a store where I was at before coming.
Una persona que jamás volví a ver.
A person that I never ever saw again.
Me confirmó Josué 1:9.
Confirmed to me Joshua 1:9.
Mira que te mando que te esfuerces.
Look that I send you.
Sé valiente.
Strengthen. Be courageous.
No temas ni desmayes.
Do not fear.
Porque yo Jehová tu Dios.
Because I, the Lord your
estaré
God.
Estaré contigo.
Will be with you.
Donde quiera que tú vayas.
Wherever you go.
Y hasta este momento.
In that moment.
Él no me ha dejado.
He has not left me.
Para la honra y gloria de Dios.
For the honor and glory of God.
In April, during the Easter musical, I had one of those rare opportunities where I was just overwhelmed. And I shared this when we did the Night with the King and that personal testimony. But I keep coming back to this verse, and I feel like we as a nation are standing on the edge of a knife in world history. And I feel like there is a call all around the world for Christians to really stand up and to not just say we believe, but show we believe. Right? Have you all felt that? I've really felt it in my spirit. And he gave me Romans 12:2, which is, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I've read that verse a gazillion times, but when I read it in the New Living Translation, it really popped out at me, and the Lord revealed that. And if we don't stand up for what we believe, if we don't show the world that there is power in the Word of God, where is our nation going to be? Where are our kids going to be? And as a public educator, I stand on this verse. And kids tell me when they walk into my classroom that they feel a sense of peace. And it's because I pray this verse over my classroom. And we need this. We need this in our world today.